So, hello guys. This is a talk about the process of releasing your code to your customers and the challenge that we usually face when we are setting that code that is on our development machines to our production machines. So, who am I? My name is Miguel Loureiro. I'm a full stack engineer at UniPlaces. I don't only focus on delivering code. I also work at front-end, back-end, our different platforms. But I was given the task to release the code at our company. So, if you don't know UniPlaces, UniPlaces is a marketplace for student accommodations. We are a VC-backed company. This is my handle, Emily Maloreiro, if you want to follow me on Twitter, Medium, or SpeakerDeck, or whatever. And I'll talk a bit about my story before I was working at UniPlaces. So I released my first website when I was 17 years old. It was a driving school website. And I didn't even know the word deploy. I was just developing on my machine, on Windows, in a HAMP stack, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. And then I went to the point where I need to really put the code in production so everyone could see it. So what I did was the usual stuff. I got a shared host, placed the code there with cPanel. I didn't even use the FTP protocol. It was everything just happens magically by following some tutorials and stuff. So after that, I started working on different companies. I worked at Inesc here in Portugal. Created my own startup in working with different languages and different frameworks. The one thing I always had to do at all the jobs I had was to release the code. I never had someone that took care of the release process of my code on development. So let's talk about the first deployment. As I said, my first deployment was this small website that I just had a cPanel and put the code there with the help of the cPanel. But then, this aligns with this stage. I think everyone that is releasing the code for the first time, at least when I was doing it, this was the very easy way of doing it. You just have a code base in your machine or your development environment, don't know where it is, and you just have a pushing system like an FTP or a SCP to just push your code in the remote server. So the next stage, a VCS. As a developer journey, you start coding, you start knowing new tools and ways to improve how you code. One thing that I think, or I expect everyone goes through is from starting to version control your code. With this comes a great thing that is you can have a push system over your version control system. I mean, when I was developing, I could commit, have a control of the versions I had on my code, and then I could just push the code to the repository, and then on the remote server, do a pull. When I was using Git, it's GitHub, the most usual, and I would just pull the code for the remote repository, do the configuration management, and the product will be live. So then you start seeing that it's not only about pushing the code. Because what always happens is you have code, the code works in development, but then all the deploys I had made till then reach the first time it reaches the production stage, everything will break, of course. Because the environment, your development environment is always different from the production environment. So then there's this thing of the environment, of setting up environments. You start seeing that it's really important to have a staging environment very similar to your development environment. And of course, the staging environment, the most similar it is for the production environment, the better. But then you start seeing that releasing code is not only about placing your code in other machine. It's not really like that. You really need to focus on other things. You see, there's not only a transfer, a pull, because FTP, SCP, Git pull push system, it's all the same. It's just a push service. You just push the code. But you need to take care. You need to start thinking on is the machine this provides the same environment where your development machine is working, where your code is working on your development machine? No. So here you start seeing that it's really a whole new world. Set up machines and not only the code, which I will call artifacts after this. So how are you doing this at UniPlaces? When I joined UniPlaces, it's taking 2 years now. My CTO asked me to present me the challenge to be responsible of releasing our code. I got a bit stressed because we are a product company, and we really need the. I knew that my knowledge at that time wasn't really aligned with the requirements that UniPlaces needs. UniPlaces, as a product company, needs to have a reliable way of deploying the software. So if something goes wrong and you don't have a delivery process that is fast, you need to continuous delivery and have a fast way of releasing code, because very often we break code, of course, and you need to fix it fast and reliably. So at that time, I didn't have that knowledge. I had to study. And I knew if my work wasn't good, if today I see that my work wasn't good, maybe the company or I wouldn't be here, neither the company, or we will not have the growth that we had for these 2 years. So it's really it was really a big deal. So when I was studying, these words was always shining on the internet. You see DevOps, you see continuous delivery and integration. But so I would like to make a question. Who knows what is DevOps? Or have you ever heard? No one? No one wants to give a hint of what it is? Okay, cool. Because there's a misconception on that word. Let's see these definitions. What do they bring us? DevOps is a way of working. It's a culture you put in your company. It's a way of working that enables you to remove that organizational barrier that you in most common cases you have. Like there is a team of developers and there's the operations teams. Developers do the code, and they send to the operations team, and they put it into production or test it in staging. It's two different processes. And these guys say, oh, this isn't working, let's reopen the issue and send back to developers. So the DevOps culture tries to combine these two fields. There's no split between operations and developers. Developers should be aware of will this code run in production? Will it not? Can I deploy my code? Or do I need to ask permission or ask someone to do it? So the misconception that is behind this word is you often see in a lot of hiring processes a DevOps engineer or a DevOps guy. But this is a misconception, because a DevOps is not a person, is not is not a profession, it's a way of doing things. Then we got continuous delivery. This is an approach of releasing your software often. There are companies that don't grow that much because they have such a big code base and such a hard deployment system that they do releases, like their release cycle is for 1 year or even months. And the shorter the cycles are, the better the benefits, the most the benefits you'll get in your company, because it will be easier to see if some push, some deploy that you've done add value to your business. So it's really important to have a clear way of doing deploys, and they should be fast. That's what continuous delivery approach tries to explain. Then you have continuous integration. Continuous integration is not a tool. It's a method that the usual tools that provides, like CircleCI, Travis, Jenkins, there are just tools that enables this method. This method consists in whenever you're writing code and you push to your repository, you should be able to know the states of your code. You should be able to see that nothing was broken when some changes were made. So, and this was how I wanted to connect things at UniPlaces. I wanted to have a DevOps culture. I don't want to have someone that will be me always being asked to deploy things. I wanted every team leader to be able to deploy very easily. I wanted to have continuous delivery, because we are a product and a startup. We really need to grow fast. If the company dies because your deployment system is slow, it's a really big failure. And then to have continuous reliable way of doing continuous delivery, you need continuous integration, because you can't release software fast if you don't have a clear way on checking if your code is working well or not with the changes. So we need to define what is deploy. Deploy consists in three steps. Setting up the machine, the environment where you will put your code. Get your artifact. The artifact is like a box that box that represents the state of your code on the development. And then just put our machine set, we need to put that code here, there, and do the configuration management. It's really important to have that, and that's a big error and common error. It's really important to have your code nicely decoupled between the different environments. You should be able to push the same code base in your different environments. So you should have an artifact that goes to staging, production, deploy, testing, whatever, and it works in all the environments. And that you can do it by decoupling your data stores. You should consider everything you should define a boundary between your code and your data stores or dependencies that the code may have. So let's try to treat our backing systems as an attached resource, and not as a couple resource in the code. So the overall goal of this process was to create a repeatable and reliable process to release our code at UniPlaces. And why repeatable? Because the more we do one thing as human beings, the better we get on doing this. One thing that usually happens is you have a server that's called your pet server, and you put your product on production, and you have the product in that server. What happens is in 2 years, you probably will have the same server with different service, different code base. And then something happens. The server just crashes. And then you need to redeploy or get another server and place the code. So if you don't have a repeatable way of doing this, and you're not used to do that, it will take a lot of effort to rebuild the whole system again. And so the reliable plays very well with the repeatable. So let's talk about the beginning of uniplaces on what matters this concerns. When I start working in this field, we already had a development environment, which consists in this. Just for you know, uniplaces is made of different platforms. We have a core platform that is where all the business logic for the business work. And you have the front-end platform that just do API calls for the core. So we have one centralized unit to do that, and we have front-end. So at that time, we had three projects. We had core, operations, and administration. So what we had was, on our local machine, we just had an OS file. This will try to simulate a DNS. It will simulate a DNS, and we have three virtual machines that were provisioned with Ansible and Vagrant. And when your local environment consisted on accessing the virtual machine with all the necessary service for the different platforms, because you have different needs. In core, you have one type of services. In the front end platforms, you have different services. Then we need to deploy this thing to the cloud. At this stage, we only had the same projects. And what we did was getting two virtual machines, two VPS on the cloud, and have an instance or a machine that had all the service for all the projects. This is different from the development environment already. In the development, we have a machine with a service that the project needs. Here, just to ease the process, because we had to rush this, we created a machine that had all the services and all the platforms. And we attached the storage service to have our assets there. And the database management system was also attached to it. And this was done manually. I had to SSH the machine, configure everything, install the service, and we had the git pull, git push method of deployment. These were two machines to just separate the environment. We will deploy first to staging, check if everything is OK, and then that will guarantee that it worked on production. So some pitfalls of this. Manual deploys. Of course, this wouldn't scale. I couldn't be the one that was always accessing the server and doing the manual deploys. All projects on the same machine, it's bad, because if some machine in some project broke some service, every project will be down. With this, you will have downtimes, because when you release the code on core on production, we always need to clear the cache on our system, the PHP cache, and that will give us like a 1 second downtime. No big deal, but it is still downtime. And if after a year that problem of not doing deploys, after a year I need to recreate the whole system, it will be painful. So from that, of course, we need to scale. Because we have more platforms, we released a student. That student platform is what you see on the internet. The uniplaces.com points to the student platform. We had to release the accommodation provider platform, photography platform. We need to create machines to have background jobs working. The ETLs that we do for data processing, etc. More environments. We had to, this Prod 1 and Prod 2 environment I will explain later, but we had to add these three environments, Production 1, Production 2, and QA for testing on a production environment. And we have a one-on-one relation for clusters and environments. We have one cluster for each environment. Of course, more service. Things get bigger, and we need more service to handle our requests. So the final picture is this. We have the RDNS that is pointing to, this is a group of clusters. We have production one that have a core cluster, AP cluster, student cluster. This may be confusing. If anyone has doubts, just ask. We have production two that is exactly the same as the production one group, and the staging environment. In production one and production two share the same database and backing storage, also the same workers, because the workers work on the data stores. So staging, there's another cluster that wasn't in the picture, but is the QA cluster. Just needs to just exist for our QA team access the website in a testing environment, but that uses the production data. It's not the best way, but it works because we don't do writes. We only do reads on this cluster. So what do we need to handle? 21A records, because we have splitted all the projects. 21 load balancers, at least 24 instances, because it's a cluster. And it will be 24 instances or machines if we only had one machine per cluster. Of course, that doesn't happen. And 9 projects. So this was a GIF. This guy is very angry. Should we do manual process? Of course not. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. So we need to automate things. And I created a project called UniPlaces Deploy. This is our release pipeline. We test, do continuous integration in this phase. We build an artifact, which in this case is an image of the entire system. Then we deploy and promote. So we just use Circle CI. We have a very good test coverage. We have 295% test coverage, so we can rely on that. And then we after every Git push, we have Circle CI running and saying if the code is healthy or not. Then there's the matter of build. How can I? There was a to do the repeatable thing. To go to that theory, I always needed to create, to replicate and recreate the same machine over and over again. And this led me to the thinking on what will make this thing stable. What can I do for the machine to come always to a stable state? Because when we deploy, when we build, we have a stable state. Something can change on the machine, and that will that thing can break some things. So we never leave the stable state. We implemented immutable infrastructure. This is a method that says whenever you create a machine, don't change anything, because if it's created and it's working, you don't need to change anything. The best way to see that you're doing things well is having 21 machines online, and you never ever need to SSH to them. So how do we do this? We are not only deploying code, we are building a an entire environment. Whenever we build something, you are creating a new machine prepared to receive the artifact or the code. So we do this with this command. We still don't have an interface for this. So it's just a Python script that does a lot of things. So what we're doing is we're creating machines and environments with Vagrant and Ansible. But what changed was in development the machine was being created on the provider that was VirtualBox or I don't remember VMware or something. We just changed the provider. We kept the same services, the same tools, and changed the provider to configure and provision the machine on the cloud. So what we do on the build process is create a new machine with all the service we need and configurations. After we create it, we register a snapshot of that machine, and we have a version control over the infrastructure and not application level only. So when we register the snapshot, we register with an identifier that is the git commit hash or tag that of the release you want to do. Then there's the step of deployment. This is very fast. It only takes, the build process takes 10 minutes to do. We create a machine, register the machine and stuff. It's like 10 minutes. And then we have the deploy step. The deploy step, what it does is also it's Vagrant and Ansible, but it's not creating anything. It just grabs the image that correspond to the code that you want to release with the environment ready. Grab the image, create and set up the instance, because this image is prepared to work for staging in a staging environment and in a production environment. It just changed the targets of the data stores and stuff. Create a machine and attach to the project load balancer. For instance, if we are deploying core, we create a machine and we just attach that new machine to the load balancer. Now, how can we say and be sure that we don't have downtimes with this whole process? We do blue-green deployments. This method consists in having, that's why we have production one and production two. Production one is green, Production one or two is in a green state when uniplaces.com points to that group of clusters. And then when we build and deploy, we deploy to the blue group. And that will represent the blue state. So what we have here, as I said, we have uniplaces.com pointing to production one. This means we are in a green state. It's a state that is live. And then the process that we do is on the production two environment. So we deploy and create new instance and auto-scale the instance in production two. And then we have a Python script that's called promote. It's like the official way of saying you're now pointing to and putting all your traffic in this cluster is a promote thing. So this process after everything is checked, we start putting the traffic that was going to the production one cluster, group of clusters, to the production two group of clusters. And then we avoid having downtimes. So we just keep changing the A records from one to another. One cool thing we also need to do, and that I advise, is always have a dashboard or something that gives a clear understanding of the state of your of all your environments. So this may be may appear overwhelming, but this first line is all the projects that we have live. We have production one, production two, QA, and staging. We see all the versions in all the projects we need in all different environments, and that says that what is live and what is on soft. So I think the final goal was met. In every deployment, we create a new machine, new image, we register, we have a version control on everything. If I want to go back 1 year at UniPlaces, I just grab the machine and deploy, and it will just work. Without having a different service at that time. And this never broke until today. So at least I can say it's reliable until now. And this ends the presentation. Anyone wants to have some questions?